Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share an exciting opportunity with you. The Breaking Free Workshop will teach you a step-by-step guide to turn your passions into profit. Join us for a transformative experience where you'll learn how to smash through your career plateau with a personalized plan in 5 strategic steps, avoid common mistakes that could be holding you back, and identify critical actions for the next month to accelerate your progress toward your goals. Don't miss this opportunity to take control of your career destiny and create the lifestyle you desire. Your first workshop is free. Register now for the Breaking Free Workshop. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for all the details. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops.
You've been disappointed before and you never died. And I thought, oh, disappointed? Okay, I can deal with disappointment. I've dealt with disappointment before. And so I had it. Like, that's part of the game. And that is part of the learning, is you're going to learn from the licks that you take.
Today, we're honored to welcome a remarkably driven entrepreneur, Gina Kottner, the CEO of Athena Executive Services. In this episode, Gina shares the riveting story of her leap from a corporate career at IBM to the adventurous world of entrepreneurship. She candidly opens up about her early aspirations to open a martini lounge, the realities of navigating a recession, and how personal challenges led her to a simple Facebook post that would pivot her career. Gina's journey is a testament to the entrepreneurial spirit, revealing how she transformed a demand for her skills as an executive assistant into a thriving business that now allows her to work just 5 to 10 hours a week. Her insights on the importance of adaptability, learning from disappointment, and leveraging community will inspire anyone standing at the crossroads of change. So whether you're contemplating a bold career move, looking to scale your business, or simply interested in hearing a story of true perseverance and innovation, this episode with Gina Kottner is one you cannot afford to miss. Get ready to be inspired and to take a deep dive into the world of virtual executive assistants, a field that's more relevant now than ever. Now, let's smash some plateaus with Gina Kottner. Gina is the CEO of Athena Executive Services, a firm that pairs virtual executive assistants around the United States with swamped and successful entrepreneurs and executives. Her team of high-caliber executive assistants work part-time, from home, taking many tasks and projects off the plate of successful people, leaving them free to spend their time where they are needed most. Gina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Let's actually go back to much earlier in your career, before you started your current company. Can you talk a little bit about where you worked and what prompted you to leave?
Yeah. So I worked for Big Blue. I worked for IBM. And it was actually a great place to be in my late 20s, early 30s. It taught me a ton that I think really supported where I ended up. But I don't know whether it was because I was in my early 30s and maybe everybody is having these thoughts in their early 30s, or was it because it was like 2002, 2003, and certain things were hip and popular? You know, I had read, I think, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I had read Millionaire Next Door, and had gone to some, you know, conferences and big ballrooms of hotels where you, I don't know, learn the newest way to have passive income or something like that. But I did have a sense called, I'm happy at IBM, but I can't imagine being here forever. This seems awfully limiting, you know, and there were certain things that would happen. Like one time my back went out and I thought, why can't I just leave whenever I want, do whatever I want? I remember calling my dad and saying, Dad, I really need to like lay down. He said, why don't you just lay down? I said, I can't just lay down in my cubicle. This is crazy. You know, and I remember thinking, you know, there's going to be a point when my parents are going to be aging and I'm going to want to spend more time with them. And it was just starting to all kind of dawn on me, like, I don't think this 2 weeks of vacation a year thing sounds very appealing in the long haul. So I started just noodling on, well, how am I going to get out of here, basically? And I had this crazy, what now seems like a crazy notion, that I knew what I wanted to do is I was going to open a martini lounge. Mm-hmm. And so I got together all the plans and I was ready to go. And I finally jumped, as in gave my notice. And I remember my boss at IBM saying, "You're going to do what?" And I said, "I'm going to open a martini lounge."
Right. And your boss probably had no clue that this was cooking.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, he knew I had gumption and guts and confidence and I, you know, a lot of things, but he said, "Where's this going?" And, you know, this was 2006 and little did I know what was coming in 2008 in the market and in the economy. And I left and I went to work on writing the business plan and finding the business partner. And we were ready to mortgage everything we owned and we got a bank to say yes. And we found the property. And then I just said to myself, I don't think I can have a baby with this person. You know, it was like, I was about to have a baby with somebody essentially. And am I going to be up doing dishes at 2 a.m. with this guy? I don't think so. And it was really the best thing that I actually didn't do. It was one of the best things where I had spent 18 months. I should make it work. I could make it work. I know I could. And then I finally just said, I just don't think you should, Gina. And I didn't, which was hard to say no to. But thank God I did, because then 2008 came and a big recession, and it would have been, we would have lost a lot had we gone forward. And then I was a business coach, and I was, of course, I was involved in MLMs, right? All the multi-level marketing that promises you freedom and ease and all of this. Another business partner found me, somebody who was looking for a business partner in the hospitality consulting space. And I went and I did that and I learned a ton. So I just kept doing all these funny little jobs, but never quite going back to corporate America, but also never making it. It's kind of just eking out a living, I guess you might say. And then I was in the middle of a divorce and I got scared financially. I had left him the house and he wasn't paying the mortgage and things were happening. And I was still trying to pay all my bills through being a small entrepreneur. And that wasn't going well. And I just finally got to the point where I said to myself, I have to make money. I just have got to make money. I don't care if I need to go work at Starbucks. It's too stressful to be worried about money. So I said, I need a job. I just need a job. I need a J-O-B and I need to go somewhere and it needs to be fairly simple. I need to make a difference for somebody and have money show up in my bank account. And so I saw somebody on Facebook that I knew advertising saying, "Hey, I need an executive assistant." I think I can do that. I'm a pretty good project manager. I can probably sort that out. And so I became this CEO's executive assistant. And I took the bus to the office and managed her calendar and the office and a variety of other projects. And then she sold the space or got out of the lease of the space that we were in. And so she and all those staff, we all started working from home. So it was probably 2012, 2013 or so. And there I am working from home as an executive assistant, really, really enjoying it and having all that freedom and autonomy really to work from home. And then her business got smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where she didn't need an EA anymore. And at the same time, my father's life, we knew he was dying and we knew his life was coming to an end. And fortunately, I had the opportunity to say, you know, I think I'll just leave this job for now. I don't think you really need me. And I'm going to go be with my father for the last couple months of his life. And so grateful that I got to spend that time with him. And then I went home and mourned, you know, and was just quiet for a few months. And then I thought, all right, I'm ready to find another CEO to go be an executive assistant for. And I was just asking around, rustling the bushes. And somebody said, "Yeah, my boss is a CEO and he really could use you." And I said, all right. So I started working for Darren, this guy. And Tiffany had introduced me to him. And Tiffany was his HR manager. And a month or two later, she said, "Listen, I am going to need an EA. So if you could just plan to be my EA also in the next quarter, I'd really appreciate it." And I said, "Tiffany, I don't have any more bandwidth. I'm not looking for more work." And she said, "Well, no problem. just find me somebody like you. And so it begins. And so I said, and she
funny
said,
funny how opportunity shows up when you least expect it.
Exactly. And she said, you know, you should open this as a business. And I said, no. I've been an entrepreneur. I'm not doing that again. No. Mm-mm. So I said, we were friends. And I said, let's look in our community, right? In our common community of people that we know and in her circles and my circles. And we thought of somebody and we said, you know, Dorian would be really great at this. Now, Dorian was young. She was in her mid-20s. And I think she was still in her first job she'd ever had as an adult, still living at home. And I said, Tiffany, I think she would be really good. And she said, well, we'll pay you to coach her. And I said, okay, well, you have to be a good client. You can't be a jerk of somebody to work for, because this is our very first job. We're going to pluck her out of YMCA of LA or somewhere, wherever she was. And you got to be great. And I got to be great. We can't mess up our life. She said, okay. So Dorian starts being the EA for the HR manager and I'm coaching her. And then a few months later, Tiffany says, you know, the guys in sales spend way too much time doing admin work. They really need a assistant to take all that stuff off their plate. And by the way, you should open this as a business. And I said, I don't want to. And she said, get over yourself, do it. So I did. And I found Allison, somebody I knew from my past, and brought her on board. So there was Allison, me, and Dorian. And we officially incorporated in the spring of 2016. And there we were, the three of us just doing all what we love to do. We were working part-time. We were working from home. And I just kept finding more people that wanted to do that work and more clients who wanted that work. And then I had to work myself out of a job because I started realizing I'd like to just grow this business. I don't think I want to actually be an EA anymore.
Right. Which is a totally different role and different set of skills than what you were doing as an EA.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think my mom for a while was sort of dumbfounded. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm an executive assistant, right? I come from a lot of private school and a lot of education. And I was not exactly where she thought I'd end up at 50. So it was, but I was excited to bring now back. I think at some point I knew, okay, you could build this as a business. Let's just see, you know, let's see how this goes. And so, you know, when I brought in everybody as contractors, which made it a lot safer at the time. And another client and another contractor and another client and another contractor, and eventually had Allison take over for me. And that was 2016 when we founded this business. And again, little did we know what was about to happen in 2020. So I think, there's always a little bit of luck involved in success. I read some article recently that says we all think we're a little bit, we don't attribute luck enough to our success. But the pandemic for a work from home, work remotely business threw gas on the fire. So we, in the beginning of the pandemic, I did lose about 40% of our clients and we were in a bit of a rut, but only for about 6 months, right? And so many businesses suffered. And then after that, ours just took off because people finally realized, oh, I really do have to work from home. And I do need help and I do need assistance, but I'm not used to this. I don't know how this works. And so people would come to us and say, do you guys know how to do this? And we'd say, yeah. Yeah, we've been working for home for years. Yeah, let's go. So the business grew like wild. And then in the summer of 2020, while it was quiet, I had this notion that I could turn one of our rock star EAs into an ops manager, some kind of manager that could start to take off my plate, all of what I call the lather, rinse, repeat. You know, I have the same conversations with all the prospective clients. I've had all the same kind of conversations with all the prospective staff members. I had the systems built and I started to turn over a lot of the departments, you would say, even though we're a small little company of all those departments, to a woman named Jennifer Tracy. And that started to create a lot of space for me to just coach and develop her. And it also forced me to get all my systems in place so that I could turn things over to her successfully. And she really ran with it and she loved it. And 2 years later, Dorian had left the company and she had come back. So I brought her back as a manager. And now today, 95% of the day-to-day operations are run by Jennifer and Dorian. and I work 5 to 10 hours a week and I play a lot of pickleball.
So you are where you wanted to be, but definitely not a linear path.
For sure. For sure. Yes. And lots of ups and downs along the way, right? It was not even, that's the short version and we can go in whatever direction from there you want. Cause there were of course ups and downs all along the way.
I'm really curious to know what piece of advice would you offer somebody who is where you were when you left IBM? Because for many people, especially if they're doing this with a longer work history than you had, you know, let's say they have 20 to 40 years in some kind of corporate setting. And by corporate, I use a broad definition. It could be an enterprise like IBM, it could be a small business, it could be government, it could be nonprofit, could be the educational system, but they're really good at what they do. They come from a place where there's a team, they're a member of the team, whether they're in management or not, there's still other people to take care of other things. And then they go out on their own, and whether they leave voluntarily or they get pushed out, if they're really committed to taking control of their career and making sure that they're responsible for bringing in the income that's going to pay their bills, it's a very different set of skills that they need to use as a business owner, in addition to whatever their discipline was, if they're staying in a business that's related to what they were doing. So I wonder what piece of advice you might offer somebody like that so that they're able to create something that is going to meet their needs and perhaps, you know, get to a place where it may exceed their needs in like you've done, but perhaps won't take quite as long.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what piece of advice would you offer?
Yeah. I think one thing is to keep it simple. You have to make money and figure out how you're going to make money and keep it simple. I had always said to myself, listen, if I could just make something or buy something for a dollar and sell it for two, that is going to get me a long way. So it doesn't, maybe your expertise is way more complicated than mine ever will be, but how are you going to make money is really the $1 million question. And whatever answer you have in the beginning is probably not going to be the answer you have 2 years later, 4 years later, 6 years later. So there's so many different pieces of advice that I would have, but that's at the top of my list is keep it simple and make money. Cause some people or have a plan, because once you start stressing about, I am not making enough money, we're not going to pay the bills, we're not going to whatever, then all the creativity and all the joy is just like, you know, gone. And what had me jump might actually apply to some people too, which was, there was a chapter in a book, I think it was called Cash Flow Quadrant. And at one point it said, disappointment's part of the game. And that's not to be a downer, but you know, I think a lot of people plan and plan and plan and plan so as to avoid disappointment. Well, there's going to be ups and downs, and that is how you're going to learn, and you're going to be fine. You've been disappointed before and you never died. So there's going to be just, something about that chapter hit me and I thought, oh, disappointed? Okay. I can deal with disappointment. I've dealt with disappointment before. And so I had it like, that's part of the game. And that is part of the learning, is you're going to learn from the licks that you take versus I really screwed something up. No, you didn't. This is part of the entrepreneurial journey. It is a roller coaster.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Gina, you've talked about books you've read and different kinds of resources. What have you found to be most helpful to you as you've had to learn new skills and had to deal with challenges that you hadn't faced before?
Use your resources. I mean, in the ideal world, you're doing what you are the very best at, and you may not be the very best at marketing and writing the contracts and hiring staff. And in the ideal world, you would oversee that. You wouldn't go become an expert in that. Which is again, reason number 200 to figure out how you're going to make money, right? Because I don't worry about what I don't know, because I'm either going to call my CPA or my attorney or my business coach. But it wasn't like that in the early days. You've got to have the money to be able to do that, right?
Right. Can you talk a little bit about how you may tap into community as a resource?
Absolutely. And that was, you know, in the beginning, that was what was so key was the community of who do I know who would want to do what I'm doing, and who do I know who would want to buy what I'm doing. And so there's the community. You know, my attorney ended up being somebody I'd known for a long time. So there's community, like just people that you've known throughout your entire life who you never thought you'd do business with. But if you're open and sharing with the whole wide world what you're up to, you'll be amazed who 3 years from now becomes your attorney, who becomes your business coach, who becomes all these different roles that you may need. But in the beginning, when you don't have the money for that, community is even more important. Right? Because you're leaning on people, not in a bad way. People want to contribute. People want to make a difference for you. Right? So I'd also say, don't be afraid to go ask your friend's sister, who's an attorney, or go ask your, you know, your a friend of a friend to give you some input on something. That's how it starts.
Yeah. Can you actually go a little deeper on that? Because I think there is a lot of reluctance to not only to ask for help, but to ask people you already know and to be vulnerable and share what challenges you're facing so that somebody who might be in your network or might be a friend of a friend or whatever can actually help you, but you need to be able to share something. So could you talk a little bit about that process?
It's a mindset, I think, shift for some people, which is you've just got to get people want to contribute. People want to make a difference. Now that seems weird, but if you just look at how you are in life, if somebody makes it easy for you to make a difference with them, you will. And I'll tell you, human beings love nothing more than to give you their opinions and their input. They love it. Doesn't mean you have to take it, but I'll tell you, you'll make a million friends if you say, listen, I'm going to start this new business and I'm building widgets, but you know what? I don't know a thing about HR and I think I'm going to have to hire some people. What do you think I should know? And the less knowing you are, which is again, hard for human beings because we all want to act like we know stuff. The more you act like you don't know, the more you're going to learn. And that is a trick that I use sometimes. I think I know, and I want to seem like I know, and I want to act like I know. But if I go to somebody a little less knowing than I actually am, I learn so much and they love it. People love giving you their opinion. And again, it doesn't mean you have to take it. Maybe you go ask three people the exact same question, looking for the exact same input, and you get three different pieces of input. You'll pick what's right for you.
Yeah. Same thing is true with market research. If you want to figure out how to make money, just start asking people that you think might be your target audience about their challenges and what they would be willing to pay for somebody to solve it. You'll learn a lot.
That's right. And it's a huge way that we built. I mean, we've never advertised. And it's just because our referral engine is really strong and our referral people refer to us because in the beginning, and even now today, I would say everybody on the planet is either a potential client or a referral source. So I don't go to networking meetings and I don't go to things thinking, oh, I got to turn you into a client. I'm talking to you because you have a network and maybe your sister, your neighbor, your Aunt Sally, somebody you meet next week is a perfect client for me. It's unlikely it's you, but it's likely, or it's more likely, it could be one of the 50 people that you talk to most. So you've just really got to be in that business of sharing what you're up to, unattached from trying to get a skill or get a sale. You're just sharing to build community and let more and more and more people know what you're up to because you have no idea. They go to somebody's birthday party next weekend and they go, this guy needs you. That's people would call me and they'd go, can I introduce you to this guy? I just talked to him last week. God, he's overwhelmed. He needs you. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And yeah, it is definitely a mindset. There's so many mindset things when it comes to entrepreneurship and when it comes to pivoting. So thank you for sharing that. Gina, we've covered a lot of territory, and I want to thank you for being so forthcoming in your story. I think it's really emblematic and will help listeners understand, A, they're not alone, and B, life isn't linear, business isn't linear, and there are a lot of ways to achieve what you want, but perseverance is a major ingredient. So thank you for sharing so much of your story. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today, or learn more about you and learn about your business and who you serve and what kinds of problems you solve, where would be the best place for them to go?
Yeah, people can go to our website, which is athenaexecutiveservices.com, and read about us. And then if you click on any of the buttons there that say, do you want to learn more? You're going to get connected to a woman named Jennifer Tracy. And she's super fun and sweet to talk with. And she'll just brainstorm with you about anything and everything in the virtual assistant space, which is blowing up right now. So she'll also be really straight and say, if you know, you don't need us, you need a this. She's a great resource in that regard. And if anybody wants to connect with me personally, you can find me out on LinkedIn very easily.
Sounds great. Well, Gina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest has been the founder and CEO of Athena Executive Services, Gina Kottner. Thank you, Gina, for joining us.
Thank you.
Making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership can be done more effectively when you follow a system. In our Breaking Free workshop, you'll learn the 5 steps to smash your plateau, craft a weekly progress plan, and avoid common mistakes. This workshop is for dreamers, risk takers, and those ready to accelerate their business journey. Your first workshop is free. Visit smashingtheplateau.com/workshops for details and to secure your spot in the next workshop. Don't miss out on this opportunity for a career transformation. That's smashingtheplateau.com/workshops. Join us on our next episode of Smashing the Plateau for more wisdom from industry leaders. Until then, keep striving, keep believing, and keep smashing.